Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So page 29, chapter 21, conversation between Manu and Kardama. So then... So Srila Prabhupada explains that the Varnashram system is created by God and it cannot be destroyed. Quote, the institution of four Varnas and four Ashramas is confirmed herewith to be Bhagavat Rachita, which means designed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, this is also confirmed, Chatur Varnyam Maya Srishtam, Bhagavad Gita 4.13. The Lord says that the institution of four Varnas and four Ashrams is, quote, created by me, unquote. Anything created by the Lord cannot be closed or covered. The divisions of Varnas and Ashrams will continue to exist, either in their original form or in a degraded form. But because they are created by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, they cannot be extinguished. Right, so this is an important aspect, because much of the time in discussions, then devotees will bring up, oh, it's Kali Yuga, it can't be followed, or that's archaic, or that. But the point is, created by the Lord, and as Prabhupada points out here, it cannot be gotten rid of. It does not go away. It can degrade, right? You know, so as we were discussing, the doctor might be performing medicine, his natural brahminical duties, because of money, as opposed to the benefit that the people get, and therefore it's quite available. Prabhupada said before, the medical and the astrological elements were available to anyone. Right, as long as they had the proper attitude and they dealt properly, then they could approach the Brahman who knows this and get the benefit. And then according to their ability, they would reciprocate. So for someone it might be very simple, for someone it might be very elaborate. But in any case, it was available to everyone. Right? Not that, you know, unless you have insurance, then, you know, you can't blow your nose or something. You know, because you might get an aneurysm or something. You know, so you just don't want to do that. So whatever the society, the Vedic system is going on. From the simplest, you know, tribal level up to the most sophisticated social entities, they all have these same divisions. Now, which they consider more important, like the Japanese will put the samurais on top, Kshatriyas are top, Brahmins are next. I think English would also do that if you were aristocratic and all that, you're from a good family, then you would naturally have that status in society, and if you were a priest or son of a priest, you didn't have that status, even though technically you're higher. You know, they're just so proud of their administrative ability. You know, which is normal. That's why Parasaram came and did his program, because it is pretty standard that people like to do this. Right? But the divisions are still there, and the duties are still there. It's just which one you consider. Now with time, the bourgeois, then that comes up on the top. So the Vaishya places themselves on the top, because their point is without money you can't do anything. Right, we got the money, so hey, you know, so it works like that. So that will come to the top, and depending if you're working in popular circles, then the shooters are on the top. You know, so whatever a great man does, so whatever, you know, somebody comes on stage with, or you know, appears on a program with, or that. I was told that it was a very popular thing that in Bombay, when the latest Bollywood movie would come out, people would go see it, and then straight from the theater they would go to their tailors and tell them what to make. You know, because they would want to make exactly like they saw in the movie. like that. So then, like that. But the divisions are still there. It's not going away. So this idea, oh, it's Kali Yuga, it doesn't apply, that's not supported here by what Srila Prabhupada says. Right? Does that make sense? So it's not worth trying to use it as a platform. In uneducated circles, yes. You know, or as Jarabharat pointed out, in immature circles, yes. And he was talking to the emperor of the world. He called it immature because he wasn't seeing with spiritual vision. And he was talking Dharma. So how immature is talking Upadharma? Which Bhagavatam kicks out. We're on third canto. So in the second verse, it already kicks out Upadharma. Right? So the philanthropic, altruistic, you know, everybody be nice, everybody be good, turn the other cheek and all that kind of jazz. That's good. It's good social behavior, but you have to know where it fits. You know what I'm saying? Like wearing socks is good. But is it more important than the shirt? You understand? So that's, you have to, depends. So the guy could wear a raggy t-shirt, but really good quality dress socks. Huh? Warm. Well, that's in your house, though. Would you go out with those socks on, this big, thick dog like this, you know, all crinkled up and that, and go walking down Fifth Avenue? You might be able to start something. You know? If you can pull it off, it might work. So does that make sense? So, in other words, if we accept this as a principle, then we can discuss and work and try how to do something with it. Because if we're always just saying, well, does it work or not, and we go Varnashram or not, or this or that or not, then the difficulty comes is that how do you get anywhere? But if we accept that, yes, this, it's reality, but we don't have a clue how it applies, but then you'll start developing it from there. Yes?
How would you give up your position of control in that situation? Because many times you look at Varnashram and you're always attacking it from the position of control. So where's my control in that situation? So where will I fit in the four?
So then, in other words, to have that would mean they're not of a Brahminical mentality.
So then that's why...
And a Kshatriya doesn't mind because he controls the guys with all the money anyway.
So then the best way would be...
You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if devotees are using that, they're worried about the control, means they're not a Brahminical mentality. Otherwise, why would they worry about control? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so the point is one from one side, which is not necessarily the practical side, but the theoretical side, is that we're in the material world because of the desire to control and enjoy. So at some point we have to give that up. The sooner the better. It doesn't mean that we don't have authority and control according to our duty. But we should base it on our duty, which is coming from the intelligence, rather than simply our feelings of the mind, like that. Because then it becomes speculative. Does that make sense? Because something speculative, it's not that the intelligence is choosing. The intelligence, all it does is analyze. So mental speculation, why we call it mental speculation, it's called mental because the mind is choosing to analyze in that way. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, the mind doesn't analyze. It doesn't have the capacity. It only accepts and rejects. There is no capacity to analyze. The intelligence analyzes, but it doesn't accept and reject. So why would you analyze one thing and not another? Because the mind is accepted to analyze this, or rejected to analyze this. So therefore, the mind is rejecting Varnashram, or the mind is accepting Varnashram. It's not the intelligence. They'll present it, oh, we're intelligent, we're practical, therefore we're not looking at it. No, that's totally the mind. Our own conditioning, our own impressions. Does this make sense? So that's the whole idea, is that if we accept that, yes, it is there, even modern Western society, first world, still follows this. Like that. You have the business people, they want something done. Right? They send in their intellectual guy to lobby,
to the politicians. Right? Does that make sense? So it's still happening this way. There's still no difference. It's just what is primary, what's second, what's the order. So the Vedic puts Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, because knowledge of transcendence is more important than administration. Administration is more important than making money. Making money is more important than simply having feelings and needs. Right? I can feel all I want, but if I don't have money, what I do with it? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, the Vaishyas are in the senior position because they know how to make money. Shudras don't know how to make money. They would sit around lamenting all day. In other words, soapy would be their natural life. They just do that all day. So unless somebody's there with a camera, then they're not going to make any money. Right? You know, you could turn their life into a reality show, but who's going to do that? A businessman. Not them. They can't. They can only emote. You know what I'm saying? So it's not going to happen. So the Vaishyas are more important. They have to be respected because they're making the money that makes it all work. Right? Because their money then takes care of the Shudras, pays the taxes to the Kshatriyas, and gives charity to the Brahmins. Right? Just like the Shudras, they have their life, they have their feelings, but they support the other three because the other three don't function without them. Does that make sense? But more important than having money is to be able to control society so that money can be spent, can be developed. Because you can't, it's just like we said, is there's probably no one sitting in a civil war who, being there, is technically making money. People outside may be, but they're selling arms and that. But living there, it's not that you can go and open your shop. As soon as you open your shop, someone comes in and either kills you or just takes everything. Or both. Hey, you know, why be, partisan here? You know, you get the full benefit, or very liberal here. You know what I'm saying? So it can't work. So unless there's peace, there's no prosperity. So that means then the Kshatriya is more important than that. But how do you define peace? How do you define what is administered? That has to be done by the Brahmins. So that's why the Vedic system, the Brahmins are on top, because they set the standards. Administrators then practically apply it to the situation and get it done. And then automatically Vaishyas will make money. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You just have to regulate it that the money is being made so it doesn't disturb the social fabric. Does that make sense? So therefore it's like that. But in the modern, it'll get out of whack, but it's still there. You know, it's just like, is your toaster in good order or is it falling apart? It's still a toaster. You know what I'm saying? You can say, oh, it's having problems, but you still call it a toaster. You know, it's not like it's in perfect condition and then, you come the next morning and, so I put some bread in the toaster and then the mom says, it's not a toaster anymore, it's got a scratch. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, put the bread in the scratch thingy. It's not like that. So the whole idea is we start from accepting. In other words, until I accept something, I can't get any benefit from it. If somebody says I'm not sick, they can't get any benefit from a regime to take medicine. Because they won't. I'm not sick. What do I need medicine? So unless you accept that Varnashram is all there is, when it comes to Dharma, that is Dharma. Anything else is not Dharma. On this platform, the Manamoy. It may have its Dharma, but it's not Dharma itself. Dharma means all Dharmas are included in it. Right? The car has its Dharma, right? Does that make sense? It goes forward down the road. You move the steering wheel. All these things, the wheels turn and, all these things like that. So it has its nature, how it works, but it has to fit into the bigger nature on how that functions, and that has to be defined. Does that make sense?
Like that.
And then, so that means then ultimately that has to fit into the brahminical, which is the transcendental. The soul is transcendental, so that dharma has to be included. Does that make sense? So in other words, then Shudras will work on anamoy, Vaishyas on pranamoy. Right? That's why when the bourgeois comes up, it's all about being nice and just and being moral and all that, because that way you don't take my money. That's all. means when nobody's looking, then the person who's quoting morality is very immoral. But they don't want the effect of morality to fall on them from someone else. Therefore, therefore, if it does, there must be justice. And the only consideration is how to make money. Being practical, when someone says, I'm being practical, it generally means either you're making money or you don't want to follow any social etiquette. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, someone who is practical wouldn't say, I'm being practical. It is practical. You understand? Does that make sense? So Kshatriyas then are manamoy, right? Brahmins means vijnanamoy. Does that make sense? So Shudras is kama, Vaishyas is artha, Kshatriyas is dharma, and Brahmins is moksha. You understand? So the devotee then is beyond that. So that's sad-dharma. So that's the highest. It includes everything else. So the body, mind, words, the soul, the consciousness is engaged in the Lord's service. So it includes all the others. So that's the hierarchy. Does that make sense? Now, who's important, that gets out of whack in modern society. But it doesn't change that it's not working in that way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point here. Being Bhagavat Rachita means it's designed by the personality of Godhead, and he's perfect. So he's not going to design something that doesn't work. We have to remember it's his Kali Yuga, not ours. Right? Kali Raj works for him, not us. It's not that we work for him, Kali Raj, right? It's not that, like that, yeah. Does that make sense? Yes.
Is this the reason why Narada Muni says in the fifth canto that even if there is a temporary disturbance of Varnashrama, it can be revived at any moment?
At any moment. It's just like this. Let's say someone has their hands around your throat, okay? So that means your breathing is, you know, there's an obstruction there. Now, the moment he lets go, you start breathing again. You understand? Because it's just the way it works. The soul cannot be separated from Dharma. Now, on the transcendental platform, it means sad-dharma. In the condition, that means the material. So you have two choices. Follow the dharma given by Krishna, or make up your own, which will be under the control of the modes, which is also controlled by Krishna. So that means, is your dharma uplifting you or degrading you? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, all the rules that dharma makes, or Manu makes, then if you don't accept Varnashram, the devotees in their resolutions will make the same rules, but not in a proper balance. They'll address the same topics. Does that make sense? Like that. It's just that everything will be out of proportion. Something that Manu would say is bad will be okay. You know, just like Manu will say that the worst sin you can do is kill a Brahmin. And if it's intentional, there is nothing that you can do about it, except chanting. On the material platform, there's zero you can do. But he gives, after having given that, he gives what's equal to killing a Brahmin. So that means blaspheming a Brahmin, like that, or killing a cow. These are equal. Right? And we have websites run by devotees that they're dedicated to blaspheming devotees. But that's fine. But at the same time, as you know, somebody picks their nose the wrong way, then hey, you know, how is this? You know, how can they be a devotee? You know, like that. So this is still, they're making the same rules, same judgments that are there in Dharma, just that the proportions are so out of whack that they don't know. And then something that Manu will make as very, very minor thing will be made into the biggest, majorest disaster possible. So that means they're functioning under the modes of nature. We're not functioning under Dharma. So that's why then if you follow Bhagavat Rachita, and the thing is everybody's modes are different. So if you follow like that, that means you can never create a structure. Right? The more we talk on the material platform of creating a common structure, the less we get. Right? It's just like the United Nations, I'm not sure how many countries they start, probably always gives that example. Not sure how many countries we started with back in the, when was it, in the 40s or when it was created. But now there's 150. you know, like that. So there's way more than there used to be. You know, it's like one country breaks up into smaller countries, and then when everything's weak, then the bigger country next door then comes over and takes over everything again. You know, so it's, you know. See, there's no, so because of ignorance, then there's ego, right? From Brahma's creation. Because of ego, there's attachment. And that ego then makes us and them. Right? Because of that attachment, then you want to enjoy. But because you don't always enjoy, you get angry. So therefore, all this rough talk, that's anger. And so if anger is there, then you understand that there must be attachment. And if that's there must be ego. And if that's there must be ignorance. Because that's how Brahma created them. You understand? So in other words, you have the two aspects. How it's going to work with the mind. Mind is going to start from anger. But from creation, it starts from ignorance. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because I'm envious, then the next thing to come up is I want to enjoy. And then because I want to enjoy, then that puts me in ignorance. And then because of that, I have my false ego. And because of that, I have my attachment. And so that's how it works on the mind. But in its creation, it started from ignorance and goes through. So, does that make sense? So you can tell. You know, it's like rice. You just pick up a grain, you can tell. You don't have to squeeze each grain. You just have to squeeze one. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay?
Okay. They are like the sun, a creation of God, and therefore will remain. Either covered by clouds or in a clear sky, the sun will continue to exist, right?
So, because the clouds are there, we can't see the sun or appreciate it, doesn't mean there's no sun. You know, so to say Varnashram doesn't exist or can't exist, that's like saying, oh, you know, it's cloudy, so there's no sun. So, does that make sense? So in other words, we shouldn't take the London view on Varnashram. Okay, that's unfair. 15 minutes a day, it might come out. And we timed it, right? Yeah, so that's yeah.
Similarly, when the Varnashram system becomes degraded, it appears as a hereditary caste system. But in every society, there's an intelligent class of men, a martial class, a mercantile class, and a labor class. When they are regulated for cooperation among communities according to the Vedic principles, then there is peace and spiritual advancement. But when there is hatred and malpractice and mutual mistrust in the caste system, the whole system becomes degraded. And as stated herein, it creates a deplorable state.
So the problem is not that Varnashram is the problem. It's misuse of it, because you can't get rid of it. So any social system has elements of Varnashram. It's just how much is being applied and how well. Does that make sense? So we can't say Varnashram's the problem. No, it's misuse is the problem. Does that make sense? You know? So it's just like, let's say, I'm not sure what's the statistic these days, but I've always heard is before, 50,000 people a year die in car accidents in America. Okay? So now does that mean cars are the problem or misuse of the cars are the problem? Does that make sense? Yeah, so anything, eating peanuts, people choke on peanuts and die. So do we ban peanuts? Eating peanuts is not practical. Right? You know, then a large amount of the population of the world would probably riot. Yeah, yeah. You know, the Americans are peanut butter, the Malaysians and their peanut sauce. You know, there's going to be some problems. You know, the devotees on Ekadasi. You know. You know, it's just like I come to serve prasad at Ekadasi, and then beforehand I come with a piece of paper, you know, disclaimer, you know, that you sign before I serve. But, you know. So. Yeah. Does that make sense? In other words, it's a different perception That it's not whether Varnashram works or not. It's not how do we work so that it works properly. It's not an option whether we follow it or not. You know, are we the soul or are we not the soul? Right? Who is that a discussion for? Someone in ignorance. For someone who has knowledge. It's not a discussion. It's not whether the soul wants to be God-conscious or they want to be materialistic. But the existence of the soul, the existence of God, these aren't questions. These are for people who don't know. So the idea that Varnashram, it's an option whether you use it or not, that's for the ones who don't know. Right? But when it's being misapplied, misused, then it gives all these problems. Because you say, oh, but you know, this one, this, and that one. No. These are eternal systems. They're misapplied. You correct them. But you correct it to what's the standard. You don't make up our own system. Right?
Yeah, so here's, but when there's hatred, that means that there's envy. So that means I'm the controller and enjoyer, as you brought up. That's the only thing that makes it not work. And so then the idea is we don't use it, and then it'll be better. But it just means the other things become, because Varnashram has to control hatred and malpractice. That's what it's its nature. Right? At the present moment, the entire world is in this deplorable condition because of giving rights to so many interests. This is due to the degradation of the four castes of varnas and ashrams. Right? So giving rights, they don't give obligations along with it. If you have rights and obligations, then that'll work. If someone gets right, who's obligated? Somebody's right means someone else is obligated. Like, I demand food, so it means someone else has to give it, has to arrange it, has to pay for it. You understand? That's the whole thing. It's a social fabric. It's all connected. So you can't deal with one without its effect to the other. So this whole idea of just focusing on rights, but what is the obligation? You know? That's the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Indian civilization, on the basis of the four varnas and ashrams, deteriorated because of her dependency on foreigners, or those who did not follow the civilization of Varnashram. Thus, the Varnashram system has now been degraded into the caste system.
Right. So when you mention Varnashram like that to in the Western context, they'll always bring up the caste system like that. But the point is that's only there because of the foreign rule. As Prabhupada pointed out. So you had, you know, the 1,000 years of Islamic rule, which didn't care for Varnashram, and then you had 200 years of the British rule. Right? So both of them were opposed to the Varnashram and tried their best to break it down. Does that make sense? So naturally it breaks down. When it breaks down, then we complain. So there's a saying in English, give a dog a bad name and then hang him. Right, so that's the whole thing. We point out the bad thing, and therefore, what about all the good stuff? That's not discussed. Do you understand? So there's a system. If that's appreciated, then it can be applied, and then it moves forward very dynamically. It may take time. You know what I'm saying? But we've already spent 40 years. So the sooner we start, the quicker it functions. Yes.
Just expand on the principle of equality.
Equality. Equality is that someone has a nature and they should be able to function within that nature. Whatever is the benefits of that nature, they should get. But it has to be balanced with everybody else's. Equality doesn't mean that I get and nobody else gets. Because what it is this group is getting, so therefore the next group will get and this one doesn't. Okay? The nobility is getting all the benefits and the common person is not. Right? And then, what's the solution? Then the common person gets all the benefit and the nobility doesn't. So that's the difficulty, is the Western concept of benefit means one group gets it, everybody else loses it. Well, the Vedic is prosperity means everybody can be prosperous. Like, that's a different concept. Does that make sense?
So that's the whole thing, is that whichever group you focus on, it means at the expense of the others, because you're not discussing obligation. You know, in other words, okay, the population has to be protected and safe. So that means then we cut off the heads of all the nobility. How is that equal? You know, you paid some extra tax. You cut off that guy's head. If you want to make it equal, you cut off his head. We cut off your head. It works. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
I think you put it very eloquently in the past lecture, Maharaj, that the very concept of equality means everybody gets what they need, not everybody gets the same.
What they desire. No, because the thing is somebody needs more. It's just like, let's say, a businessman needs more facility than a common person because he has to run a whole business. But his obligation is having more, he has to pay tax and give charity. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is the king, he has that power and authority, but he has to protect everybody in the kingdom. Like what Prabhupada was doing a tour with the managers in Mayapur, and they were down near, I think, the front gate, and there were some banana trees that were, you know, going yellow. And Prabhupada says, why aren't these watered? And they say, oh, well, that's the agriculture department. He says, no. He says, you're in charge to see that everything in the project is maintained. So these banana trees aren't maintained. That's your fault, not their fault. You know what I'm saying? You can say they didn't do it, but then why didn't you see that they do it? That's you know, in other words, that's your obligation. So you have the authority over everybody, but then you have the obligation to take care of everybody. So that's the thing that doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the women's rights, okay? So then you have that, but then they can do whatever they want. So they do whatever they want, and then they're always going, hey, my eyes are up here. You know what I'm saying? So you want people to look at your eyes and dress so they look at your eyes. You know, no, we can do whatever we want, but everybody else is obliged. So why is it you only have rights but no obligations? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Bad example.
Recently, somebody was accused of not controlling his sight.
Yeah, but then, so therefore, there's right, but where's their obligation? So that's the whole thing, is that Ezra Prabhupada says, the entire world is in this deplorable condition because of giving rights to so many interests. Every interest has its rights. They have their lobbyists out there that are doing, you know, like that. And so it's just the variety of traditional medicines and all that in some countries are illegal because the pharmaceuticals are just so much more powerful that they lobby everywhere that it gets, you know, like that. So it's about their rights as businessmen, not about the individual rights as what system they prefer. So it's just about interests, you know. And then if the people go out and march in the streets like that, then it'll go that way, and then the businessmen will suffer. And so each one, the difficulty is each one's trying to take advantage. Each one's trying to take advantage. Well, in the Vedic system, you have what you get, and then there's the other. So the Vedic system is 50-50. But the modern is everybody wants 100%. You know, how does that work? So that's the difficulty. Yes.
Can we say that one of the main reasons why the Indians giving up on many cultures is because of the bad example? This caste system?
But why would you want to go there? Prabhupada's already saying that the caste system came about because of the influence of the foreign rulers. Then you're trying to say, oh, it's the Vedic system itself that has the problem. It's like this. What happens if there's no you know, there, let's say you're here in Mayapur, okay, it's great, but you go home to your, where your family is, you know, there's 150 relatives and none of them are devotees. How well does your sadhana go? Okay, and how many days are you there? You know, a few days or a week or 2 weeks. And it already is suffering. Now, what about where you have 1,000 years of that? So Prabhupada's point is that has to be seen. Is its effect is that therefore nobody follows very seriously. Does that make sense? Because the point is bad effect of how do you judge something as bad? You know what I'm saying? You're on the road and walking along, talking with your friend, not noticing what's going on anywhere around you because you're having a great time, and suddenly this scooter comes by beeping and almost runs you over. Okay? Then it comes up, you bring it up in the meeting that, you know, well, these scooters are dangerous, you know, we can't walk on the road, you know, this and that, you know, so we should get rid of the scooters. Right? Now, what about the point that we weren't conscious and that the road means that anything goes down it? Rickshaws go down it, scooters go down it, people walk down it, the horse runs down it. You know, the elephants go down it. It is the elephant road, right? But because we weren't conscious and it disturbed us, then therefore, then what about our obligation to be aware of what's around us? You know, we should be able to hear a scooter, you know, before it gets to us. You know what I'm saying? So then how do we judge what's the thing? Does that make sense? It's easier for us to move than the scooter. So that's why Manu says whatever's bigger has the right of way. And as you see in India, that's very well practiced. They follow very strictly this rule of Manu. The bigger your truck, the more you just don't care. Right? You know what I'm saying? So, you're supposed to give right to what's... But they're supposed to be conscious of what's smaller. So then the point is things not working because there's lack of character. Does that make sense? Lack of character is what makes it not function. Does that make sense? Right? So it's not that... Okay, so there's bad example, but why is it bad example? Because there's lack of character. Why is there lack of character? Because the actual understanding of the Vedic culture is not being discussed. How do we discuss the actual purpose and character of Varnashram if we're doubtful whether we follow Varnashram? But as Prabhupada pointed out, made by Krishna, everybody's following Varnashram. Even the guy who's the most anti-Vedic still follows Varnashram. Like, yeah, just, does that make sense? Like, what? Remember, just on this, and this rites, and then this whole. Remember hearing one Mataji getting upset how, you know, people don't deal, you know, the women aren't dealt with probably, they don't have the equal rights and everything like that, and why they don't have these things and that, and why aren't they like this? At the same time, is almost in the same sentence, she gave us an example. She got on a bus and nobody got up to give her a seat. But you do that because she's a woman. Right? Otherwise, you know, why would you give up your seat unless she's a woman? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you can't tell what's what. It gets all clouded. So you pick and choose. The modern, what it does is you pick and choose, but you're still using Varnashram. You just use it badly. Does that make sense? So it's not about the system itself is the problem. It's the misuse of it due to lack of understanding and character. Does that make sense? So if the character is there, then what's the problem? So. Yeah. Yeah.
Marsh, so this problem isn't unique to India, but India has developed a reputation recently internationally of being an unsafe place for women, whether it's students or foreign tourists. So is this a right of women to not be harassed when they go out in public, or is it an obligation of the state or the educational system?
It's both. It's both. But the thing is the men that are out on the street, then who are they under the control of for so many years? From when they're born up until when they're harassing the girls.
Their own parents?
Their own mother.
Yeah.
Why isn't the mother taught her? Because they're all busy trying to be modern. See, there's this illusion that I will be fully Indian but get all the benefits of the modern. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it. You get one or the other. So that women are supposed to be not harassed, so that means that shouldn't happen. But the point is you could also look at it from, in India, the women notice it. Well, in the West, the women don't notice it anymore. You know what I'm saying? And they also have to know how to protect yourself. I remember a discussion that a couple of traditional Brahmin women, who are devotees, and I forget how it got into it, but they were talking about that they know these kinds of pinching. Very, very painful. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to move. It's just how they do it. So they train that. So if on the bus anyone gets too close, they just pinch them. And the guys move. Because they know they're not supposed to touch, and so if they get pinched, they can't complain. You know, but it's not just that, you know, they poke or, hey, don't touch me or this and that. They just don't say anything, don't look at them, just pinch them. Does that make sense? So also the women have to want to be protected. Because what it is, the girls want to be able to be modern and go out there and dress in all kinds of weird ways, and then the boys aren't supposed to say anything. You know, there's a good chance it's not the girls dressed in saris and are not out on the street or in a nightclub that are the ones getting harassed. But they're there in their funny outfits at the nightclub and they're complaining, oh, we're being harassed. You know what I'm saying? So that has to be, if the woman's trying to protect herself, then you can have society make that proper effort. But there has to be an awareness all around. So yes, there's always, like we said, rights and obligations. But along with that is that you have the right to not be harassed, but you also have the obligation to not put yourself in a situation that would unnecessarily cause that. If you're in situations that, according to the Vedic standard, you shouldn't be harassed, then you don't have any obligation there. There it's simply the other person has the obligation. But if you're putting yourself into compromising positions and then complaining, that's also not balanced. You know, one can say, oh, but, you know, they have to go out, they have to work, they have to ride on the bus, but then, you know things, know how to deal. And that's right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so
you have to, the problem is, especially Indians, they want everything. They want all the niceness of being Indian, but they want all the benefit of the Western. How does that work? You know, if you want that, yes, like in the West, they have all the benefits of both. But you don't see those people. Right? You ever met a Rothschild or, you know, any of these guys? You know? Fords, Kennedys?
One Ford.
Okay, yeah. So you met a Ford. Okay, see. But look how gentle he is. He's the richest guy in the society, and he's the most humble. Right? Anybody else got a little money, they walk around like they own the place. He does own the place, but he's very gentle. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. You never see them. That's why they have both. You understand? But they want to be out on the street and get... You can't do that. You know, you want to be out on the street... You know, have a good right hook. You know? Like I was like going to Vrindavan, going to the Goshala once. And when I go into the Goshala, it's one of the Goshala laborers, young guy, not very old, probably in his, looked like he's teens, early 20s. and there's this girl who, you know, looks about the same as a touch younger. And they're having a full-on, like, brawl. You know, swinging, punching, kicking, and I'm just thinking, no, this is not good. You know, how is this happening? You know, so I tell the guy, he says, you're not supposed to deal like this with a woman. What's going on like that? You know, and then the point comes up, no, it's my wife. Yeah. And she was, you know, he pushed her away and she come running back. So you take care of yourself. But don't want full respect and, you know, at the same time the wallflower, you know, wallflower in public. No, wallflowers stay at home. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point is that in the Vedic it's balanced. Like that, but in the modern it's not. But you have to understand how it's balanced. So we may have doubts, but then those should be what's discussed. We don't discuss them. It's just put it on the side because we don't understand it or don't see how it applies. But if the last 40 years you're discussing how does it apply, what, you know, this is a problem, how do we address that? Then you over years you work it out. You know, and then people start to practice, or they do this, and then slowly you have something. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, oh, whether we should eat Indian or not. So therefore, how many people can cook it? Like that. Does that make sense? So it's just any of those. It's just like, oh, so we'd be wearing dhotis or not. So therefore, because it's not so prominent, therefore the fineness of wearing it is not there. You know, but it's just practice. You wear anything. You know, so even if you want to wear karmic clothes, yeah, it takes practice to know how to wear them right. Even though it's just something you put on and don't have to do really anything with, there is little points. You know? And you don't have them, you look like a slob. You got your suit on, but, you know, your cuff doesn't stick out. You look bad. You know, you have to know how to do that. You know, you're not in there to get around for it. You know? Does that make sense? You know, those little things. So you have to know. So someone who knows, then they know how, they know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's all the things. They just know those things. You know? He has the watch, and while you're talking, then he, you know, gets out and winds it, you know, like that. All these little things, they just know how to do them. How they stop and tie their shoe. You know, how they button, unbutton their coat. So it's very sophisticated. So they look good, others don't. Does that make sense? So technically, they don't necessarily look good in the Vedic or the Western. If you put in the effort, then you look good in either. So it's not that, oh, I look good in the Western, but not in the Vedic. I've never seen one like that. You know? If they look good in both, or they don't look good in both. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the problem of the Vedika, it's a problem in dressing. You know, like you're saying, with Varnasha, it's not a bad, it's bad, it's an, you know, oh, it's Copan sticking out the back. Is that Vedic? Vedic things, you have to have a super long Copan with it hanging out the back. You know, all the Puri Brahmins, they all have that. Right? Yeah, the fancy border on it. You know. He's not a Brahmin. Where's his copan hanging out the back? You know, like that. Is that make sense? So it comes. We'll put it on the detail, but it's not about the detail. It's on the principle. We don't know the principle. Because the point is to be able to cook Indian problem means you could cook anything properly. It's about cooking. So those who value cooking, cook nice. Whatever they cook. And those who don't, then they don't. So, oh, should we cook Indian? It means they don't value cooking. They may not prefer something else. That's another thing. But out of interest's sake, wouldn't you want to know how to cook that kind of stuff? It's exotic. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, what we're saying is that it's about the balance, being able to bring in that balance. And that you need a standard. And then you try, according to the standard, you try to apply it. And then naturally it'll waver this way and that way until it finally gets to something useful. Like that. But if you don't have a standard to judge it by, then standards are changing. Because if you use the modern context, then the standards are always changing. You know what I'm saying? You know, one for individual rights, and that can keep changing every moment. You like that? Is that? You know, or the other is about power and money. You know, whatever standard keeps you in power and money, then that's what you use. And if it's the other way, then it's, you know, whatever keeps the individual. Does that make sense? But without a common standard, then how do you get? Because the modern concept is God from not having a common standard. Therefore, you have conservative and liberal. You know, right? If you have the point in the middle, then, you know, naturally people are going to be on one side or the other, a waiver, and those who are more practiced will be in the middle. But to have two clear definitions of not a middle, that means, where's the middle? You know, and it's not, middle's not a compromise. Middle's the standard. The other two are a compromise. You've compromised to become conservative. You've compromised to become liberal. So come back to the non-compromise. That's the position that accommodates both. Does that work? Yeah. Therefore, this stuff is so misunderstood. Because, you know, how you say, you're either with us or against us. Right, you know. So.
Yeah, so that balance is the problem. In spite of all this, I ask you, O valiant king, the purpose for which you have come here. Whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation. Srila Prabhupada's concluding purport in this chapter describes one of the most important features of Varnashram, the mutual respect and cooperation between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. When a guest comes to a friend's house, it is understood there is some special purpose. Gaudama Muni could understand that such a great king as Swayambhuva, although traveling to inspect the condition of his kingdom, must have had some special purpose to come to his hermitage. Because otherwise, why would he specifically come to the hermitage?
You know, they'll travel around, but he won't go up to the hermitage necessarily. You know, they'll pick whatever is the best way that they'll be moving and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Yes?
It was only one reason why Swayambhuva Madhu was traveling to find his daughter.
In this one, it was specifically because he had mentioned he came because he's coming with his wife and daughter, so he wouldn't be out inspecting the kingdom with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, only Satyabhama demands that. You know, but then you're riding on the back of Garuda, so it's not a problem. You're not on the ground where anybody can give you trouble like that.
Thus he prepared himself to fulfill the king's desire, right?
So the friend comes over, so you know there's something that's happening, so you prepare yourself to take care of whatever it is they want. Otherwise, they're a friend, and why have they come to you? Right? So there's something to be done, right?
Formerly, it was customary that the sages used to go to the kings, and the kings used to visit the sages in the hermitage. Each was glad to fulfill the other's purpose, right? Because
it would have some purpose to be done. Like the king would come, he may have a particular yajna to do or some advice or, you know, something to be done. While the Brahmins, they would go to the king and they would have something, they would, you know, some need or something. Either it's not safe or they needed some support or, you know, something would be there. Right?
This reciprocal relationship is called bhakti karya. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the Brahmin and the Kshatriya. Kshatram dvajatam. Kshatram means the royal order, and dvijatam means the Brahminical order. The two are meant for mutual interest.
Right, because Manu mentions that they're basically the same thing, just two aspects. Mm-hmm. Right, so each one is there to support the other. One can't function without the other. Of course, if they're on top of loka, then that's another thing. But if you're in a social environment, then the Brahmins need the Kshatriyas because they create the environment. Right? And the Kshatriyas need the Brahmins, otherwise they don't know how to actually create the environment. Like that. So the two go together. Yes?
And they have the same training.
They have exactly the same training, like that. Just having gotten the same training together, then the Brahmins will go on performing that as their practice. Well, the Kshatriyas will then go back to the palace and under the Rajguru be trained under the different leaders within the kingdom. You know, it's like that. You know, under the general in the martial sciences and that, then whoever's dealing with the economics, whoever's dealing with this, that. So all the ministers then will train like that. So the theoretical is all done in the Gurukul, and the culture, character, all the basis. It's only the detail of the practical application that's done back in the kingdom. Just like the Vaishya will go to the school, do exactly the same training. And then, but to learn business, he does that under a businessman. What's the point of having theoretical business? You know, you do that, then a businessman hires you. You know, but for a businessman, no, you do that on the job. You learn under another businessman, like that. So for learning the practical of administration, that is done actually. It's what do you call it? Where you learn on the job?
Apprenticeship.
Apprenticeship, that would be the full thing.
So there's another one?
Job, you know, on the job training or
not formal.
Yeah, training. But that's the way you learn these too. Just
hands
like
on.
With
hands on.
Yeah. Hands on the money. I'll grab by the throat, you get the wallet. That's cooperation. Yeah. So then, but in the Shudras, then you don't need all that theoretical background to do it. You need to start early to be able to do that stuff. The other, you can, after you've gotten the character training, then you can do that, those duties, Brahminical and Kshatriya. Even the Vaishya is better, because the business, they're already business people. You know, so all you have to do is have the opportunity, they'll use it. Right? But if the character's there, then it'll be, how you say, the decisions will be better and the vision and view will be much greater, so they can do bigger business. Like, the better the character, the bigger the business they can run. So then, but for the Shudras, they simply need to be exposed to the art by someone who knows the art. Does that make sense? So if they don't go to the Gurukul, it still works fine, like that. But otherwise, if they want to know all the theory and that, they would generally come to the Gurukul as day students in the afternoon. You know, that would be the tradition. They would come in the afternoon and study the not general like the others would say, but the specific. Like if they're doing music, they would study the scriptures on music at the Gurukul.
That would generally be for the fine arts, the sacred arts.
Yeah, it would be fine arts. It wouldn't be that you would come to the Gurukul to learn how to run a jackhammer or something like that. You know, like that. The finity on, you know, how you get the flip into the burger, you know, like that. No, you wouldn't. Yeah, do it the Gurukul. So it would be the fine arts. Yeah. Like that. So if they wanted to know that, because most musicians don't necessarily care, but those who do, then that's where they would learn it. So in other words, everybody would connect to the Gurukul like that, but it's just a matter of what. But as devotees, because our predominance is the Brahminical culture and aspect, and even therefore, then someone who may have an artistic background, they still would go to the Gurukul to learn the character and that. But at some point, they want to get into the practical, so then they'll start on that. And generally, that takes all the time. Like that. So their training wouldn't be as long. Like that.
That's
what they call it, a practicum.
A practicum.
Okay,
a practicum.
Okay.
That's nice.
It means that in the daytime, there are different types of topics are studied at different
times. Yes, topics are studied at different certain times. Like that. Certain times aren't used. Means they have a time for different things. Like arts is generally done in the middle of the day. Like that. Middle of the day, you know, after early afternoon, like that, it's good for arts because somehow the focus is not as great. So the timings of the day where the focus is greater, that's where you stick to philosophy and the Sanskrit and these kind of things. So earlier in the morning and in the evening, that's the time for these kind of things. Right? So just after lunch, that would be the time for studying you know, yeah, the arts. But this is like the grammatical aspects of it. You know what I'm saying, for the shooters? Because they would start their practice of the music or dance in the morning.
Yes.
When we do our sadhana, that's what they're doing.
Yes.
Like if you're in South India and there's a, let's say, a music gurukul, like that, where it's just musicians learning music. At 5 in the morning, they're doing something. It means they're playing or dancing or that. It's not that they, you know, sleep till 12 and get up. And then, no, they have very strict sadhana. Like that. Otherwise, you don't get anywhere. Yeah.
Some Vaishyas go to Gurukul.
No, generally, they all would go to Gurukul. But they go, if they don't go to Gurukul, that's up to them. But the point is Vaishyas would go to Gurukul. Because their point is Vaishyas are leaders in the society. They lead in economics. Right? The Kshatriyas in administration, the Brahmins in knowledge. Right? So, therefore, the three of them together, they make the society function. Right? Because if you don't have knowledge, you don't know where you're going. If there's not a structure, then you can't have the stableness to make money. Because money is made a little bit at a time. It's not that you make a huge amount and then sit back and all that. You know, unless you're, you know, flying in from Kali or something. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, some Vaishya would be closer to what you call a common folk, like their businesses. Not necessarily so refined, so like your little poem, or like if I show somebody's.
You may have like that. You may have like that. But the point is technically they could all go to Gurukul if there's the interest. But the Brahmins and Kshatriyas would definitely go, and generally the more cultured Vaishyas would definitely go. Now, if the others did not, because you also have to know is, let's say someone's farming. They may be a Shudra. To be a farmer, you don't have to be a Vaishya. The difference is a Vaishya can hire people to farm for him. But if a Shudra does farming, he has to do it himself. You know, because it's actually a Vaishya activity. But he can do that, but then he has to do it himself. And so you see most villagers, they do their own farming. But it doesn't make them Vaishyas, necessarily. Does that make sense? Because the Vaishya would go out there, till it himself, from the profit of that, then he'd hire a guy. Then from that, then he'd like that, then he'd buy more land, and pretty soon he takes over the whole place. Right? You know, so that then you know that's the Vaishya. Right? Okay. The two are meant for mutual interest. The royal order would give protection to the brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in society, and the brahmanas would give their valuable instruction to the royal order on how the state and citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki Jai Nitai Gaurav